This is Teachable Moments with April podcast, and you guessed it, I'm your host, April. If you're a returning listener and a part of the Teachable Moments with April podcast family, welcome back. For those who are checking me out for the first time, well, hello and welcome. To everyone listening, be encouraged and look for the teachable moments that are all around us. Enjoy. Let us pray, a prayer for discernment. Dear Heavenly Father, I seek your counsel. I invoke your spirit and help me to discern as nothing escapes your sight. Guide me, Lord, and give me a healthy spirit, a clear eye and wisdom, and help me identify any presence of the enemy, trying to tempt or trap me into the sin of pride or vanity. Set me free of my flesh so that I may see with the eyes of Christ. Let me identify the spirit behind any choices I must make. May your Holy Spirit fill me and take control so that I only need to walk in obedience. For you alone are holy and you are my sovereign Lord. And all my decision must glorify you. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen. Hi, this is April from Teachable Moments with April podcast. The other evening, I was on YouTube and I saw a YouTube short of the prophetess Tiffany Montgomery. And she talked about a certain content about a performer who recently ended her tour, although I've been hearing that she's going to do another tour. And on the last day of the tour, from what I understand, I could be wrong, was also her birthday. And she requested that the people that came to the concert wear a specific color. And that when I learned about that, I wondered to myself, what was the significance of this particular color? And the color was silver. I personally could not find out what was the significance, because this particular individual has proven time and time again that when she asks or requests something or does something, it's very strategic and it is very meticulous. So I wasn't looking for this information. It just kind of popped up. And Tiffany Montgomery referred to the book of Acts, chapter 19. And I would like you guys to listen along with me to that account.
While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of the Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. After all this had happened, Paul decided to go to Jerusalem, passing through Macedonia and Achaia. "After I have been there," he said, "I must visit Rome also." He sent two of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, to Macedonia, while he stayed in the province of Asia a little longer. About that time, there arose a great disturbance about the way. A silversmith named Demetrius, who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought in a lot of business for the craftsmen there. He called them together along with the workers in related trades and said, "You know, my friends, that we receive a good income from this business. And you see and hear how this fellow Paul has convinced and led astray large numbers of people here in Ephesus and in practically the whole province of Asia. He says that gods made by human hands are no gods at all. There's danger not only that our trade will lose its good name, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited, and the goddess herself, who is worshipped throughout the province of Asia and the world, will be robbed of her divine majesty." When they heard this, they were furious and began shouting, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" Soon the whole city was in an uproar. The people seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Paul's traveling companions from Macedonia, and all of them rushed into the theater together. Paul wanted to appear before the crowd, but the disciples would not let him. Even some of the officials of the province, friends of Paul, sent him a message begging him not to venture into the theater. The assembly was in confusion. Some were shouting one thing, some another. Most of the people did not even know why they were there. The Jews in the crowd pushed Alexander to the front, and they shouted instructions to him. He motioned for silence in order to make a defense before the people. But when they realized he was a Jew, they all shouted in unison for about 2 hours, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" The city clerk quieted the crowd and said, "Fellow Ephesians, doesn't all the world know that the city of Ephesus is the guardian of the temple of the great Artemis and of her image, which fell from heaven? Therefore, since these facts are undeniable, you ought to calm down and not do anything rash. You have brought these men here, though they have neither robbed temples nor blasphemed our goddess. If then Demetrius and his fellow craftsmen have a grievance against anybody, the courts are open and there are proconsuls. They can press charges. If there's anything further you want to bring up, it must be settled in a legal assembly. As it is, we are in danger of being charged with rioting because of what happened today. In that case, we would not be able to account for this commotion, since there's no reason for it." After he said this, he dismissed the assembly. Acts.
Alright, so we just finished listening to the audio Bible reading of Acts 19, chapter 19, in its entirety. But it's specifically at scripture 23 and 24, it says, "About that time there arose a great disturbance about the way. It began with a silversmith named Demetrius, who made silver shrines of Artemis, bringing much business to the craftsmen." Now, this particular deity or goddess, if you will, is also known as, in many other names, one of them being Diana. And they had a temple as well as a cult of course, for this particular deity or goddess. Now, when we talk about this particular entertainer or performer, it is quite clear that she, and it's established that she indulges in goddess worship. Okay, of course, this is the first time that I heard of this particular goddess in pertaining to her, but this would go underneath the pantheon of goddess worship. Usually, this individual entertainer is usually linked to Ashun, and there are many images of her, pictures, and different magazines, fan art. When she has performed or did shows or anything in regards to that, you usually would see her dressed as this particular goddess. Now, when we talk about her birthday, you get into astrology, which is in that realm. Based on her birthday, which I believe they said was September 4th or something to that effect, it would fall underneath Virgo. And we're going to look that up and see what the connections are. Now, another thing with this particular deity that is known as Diana or Artemis is that she's considered to be a lot of things or have a lot of attributes, but one of them is considered to be the moon goddess. Now, I believe that's where the silver also comes into play, the connections into this goddess worship. So when she asked that people that came to her concert on the last day of her concert, it was allegedly to celebrate her birthday, okay? Which also is connected to goddess worship, astrology, and the moon goddess, Diana, Artemis, and just a numerous other names that go with it. Okay, so I've gone to something online, just kind of in a way random, horoscope.com. And when you look up on there about Virgo, it says the spirit color, because usually when you're dealing with astrology, evidently you have different qualities, an element, a flower, a gem, something that goes with it. And what do you know, Virgo signs, dates, and traits, the color that is associated with Virgo, which is this particular entertainer's color, astrological sign, I'm sorry, is silver. This goes along with, so on the surface, it may seem that you're just wearing this color for this particular entertainer is because that's her color that is associated with her birth sign, her being Virgo, which is very interesting to me. But it is also connected to this particular deity or goddesses, Artemis / Diana, and the cult that they had over there by the Ephesians, and that Paul seemed to, he actually did break through, and how upset all the people were, as we see in the scriptures at Acts chapter 19 of Acts. And that they, it says right there in the scriptures that they'd made all of these idols and all of these statues that were in silver, the color silver. Now I'm looking on Wikipedia, and it shows the word Virgo astrology, and it says here that the sign is associated with Astraea. In Greek mythology, Astraea was the last immortal to abandon Earth at the end of the Silver Age. See, that's that again, that aspect of silver or the color silver associated, along with obviously worshiping of gods and goddesses and so forth and so on. So that's that aspect still there that is connected to the color silver, and especially the person that requested it, of their concert goers and their fans. All right, so when you Google or search on any other search engine, moon goddesses, it basically says that moon goddesses are female deities who represent the moon or any aspect of it. And of course, believe it or not, Artemis and Diana are among the list of moon goddesses. This is linking everything together in regards to that goddess worship, moon worship. It says here, and then you have other goddesses from other cultures and different religions and regions. You have Isis, Hittite, Luna, Selene. There are way more names from the other cultures and other regions of the world that are identified as moon goddesses, whether it's Roman, Chinese, Greek, Aztec, Egypt, like we said, Egyptian, Incan. Now the attributes for Artemis is the Greek goddess of the hunt, wildlife, and the moon, who was often depicted with a bow and arrow and a crescent moon on her head. Now Diana is the Roman equivalent of Artemis, and was also a patroness of women and childbirth, which makes me think of Ashun in that way, as fertility and so forth and so on. So that's another link to whatever this is. Okay. And what people may not still see about what these concerts and shows and the music itself. I've also seen performers and entertainers now having movies that people go to the movie theater, not just their concerts, but go and see these specially put together movies showcasing what they're doing. These are unto itself. These are not just concerts. These are actual rituals that they are performing. And that's what led to, obviously, what we've talked about and touched on before, about when people go to these concerts, they are reporting that they went, but they cannot, there are big chunks of their memory is missing. They can't recall certain things. And then, you know, they're asking you to do certain things. And I think that's aiding in whatever is happening. But people keep spending the money that they don't have and their resources to just offer up as a sacrifice, as an admission to go and literally do whatever you don't remember. So you can't really say what really happened, can you? Now, another aspect to this is the individual in question, her actual tour was called Renaissance. What does the word Renaissance mean? It means rebirth in French. Now, I'm looking officially at, let me see what the source is for this particular. Like I said, Renaissance, its definition or meaning, I think it's Eptimon online.com. It says that from the old French, Renaissance literally means rebirth, usually in a spiritual sense. Okay, so let me say it again. From the old French, Renaissance, it literally means, okay, rebirth, usually in a spiritual sense. Now, usually when I've heard of the word Renaissance, I think about the Renaissance period, in which you have like art and different things from Europe. And it says from the 14th century. I think of art when I hear Renaissance, the Renaissance era. But here, when I looked up Renaissance, it literally said rebirth, and that its meaning it has a spiritual aspect to it. So let's connect the dots. So we have this individual, she has a tour call the Renaissance. Okay? It actually means rebirth, and it has connections, I'm looking at it right now, and a spiritual sense. Okay, and then it gives a French word, and it says to, also it means to grow anew, be reborn, rise again. Okay, this is interesting. Okay, then you get into what we were talking about, the color and its association with astrology and with goddesses and cults and worship of these goddesses, and the color silver. Now, I can't find it right now, but the other evening I also was looking up the word Renaissance and its connection, and it also said that it's that it means transition. So one has to ask, transition into what? So on the website etymology online.com, it breaks down the word Renaissance. So take a listen.
Renaissance, from vulgar Latin asterisk renascere, from Latin renasci, be born again, rise again, reappear, be renewed, from re again, see re, plus nasci, be born, old Latin nasci, from PIE root asterisk gene, give birth, begin.
Okay, so within that, we see from the Latin, be born again, rise again, reappear, be renewed. Okay, so if we have a concert that is about rebirth, rising again, reappearing again, and then we have what seemingly seems like a very innocent celebration of someone's birthday who just happens to want everyone to dress in silver, which is connected to moon goddess, Diana, Artemis, Luna, and every other moon goddess that is out there that goes along with Virgo astrology. What does that tell us? What exactly was that? What was that concert really? See, this is what sticks out to me. Be born again. Rise again, reappear. What exactly is it? There's something more to it than what was told, of course, because that's usually how the enemy operates. He knows that we don't know things, and he continues to keep us in the dark about things. Okay, and but yet we can be very easily led to make it to conform, okay, and to make it seem like it's this, it's one thing, when it really is so much more than that, and we don't look into anything either, okay. Long as everyone else is doing it and it's made appealing and he rebrands it and he repurposes it, then you're going to have many people just going along with it. So this is the thing that I find interesting, like I said before here on my podcast. And I mentioned the particular prophetess, Tiffany Montgomery. A lot of people either love her or hate her. And her delivery, a lot of people have a problem with how she delivers her message. Now, do I know that she's 100%? No, I don't. God knows. He knows if she's 100%, and that's really his job. It's not my job necessarily to do that. But when I heard her say what she said, and it was very short, like I said, it was in a YouTube short, I was like, there's something to this. This is the thing that was kind of in the back of my mind about this. And it goes back to also another individual that I had seen and I'd heard, and I'd followed some of his content on YouTube as well. I think his name is Jonathan Kahn, and he has been interviewed and is on other platforms talking about gods, the old gods, gods that from before, okay, coming back and getting people to worship them, okay, those gods that were abandoned. To me, I don't think they ever were really abandoned, to be honest. I think that it just kept taking different forms. And I've spoken about this before. There was a show, I don't know if it's still on, it was called American Gods, and it actually touched on that, on this particular subject. You would see gods being from back in the day, you know, whether it be Odin, you know, that pantheon of old gods being repackaged, even though, see, the message and the information is always in our faces. And it's always put in such a way that you don't get it. You're watching it, but you don't get it. And when I think about it, now I watched, I think, the first season of that show. Yeah, the first season of the show, and I might have seen maybe the second, part of the second. But it, when I think about old gods versus new gods, or rebranding the old gods, paganism, I think of this show. It actually was having a full dialogue about people worshiping things and not knowing what they're even doing. When you're celebrating Easter, do you even know what that even is? If you're celebrating Christmas, Thanksgiving, I'm not even going to mention Halloween again. Do you even know why and where it even came from? So would it even be that much of a stretch? Just ask yourself. You don't have to believe me. If, you know, I don't want you to take my word for it. You know, I want you to actually use your own mind, along with petitioning God for the Holy Spirit and the power of discernment to think about this. If we don't even know why we're celebrating these holidays, would it be a stretch to go to a concert and a person would have you do these things at the concert, and they're telling you to your face? I mean, I've seen, I don't know, people are saying it. They are commenting on how they cannot remember. They can't remember. And then on the news, they go and they get verified health individuals, healthcare doctors, to say, to convince you that this is totally okay, this is totally normal. You're just overly excited, and that's why you can't remember anything. What? So is it a stretch? Even if I sound like I'm off, I'm out there, and you're entitled to your opinion, okay? But would it be a stretch? Because we're finding out, and people are exposing, I would say, pretty much all the holidays that are out there, all of them, including the upcoming one, Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving is a form of harvest festival, okay, which has very deep pagan roots. Also, to add to this, is the fact that how they painted how everything was all Thanksgiving and goodwill between the American Indians and the Pilgrims is a lie, okay? It's a straight up lie, okay? The American Indians, how they were treated, and they continue to be treated, this is a cookie cutter, it's a lie. Thanksgiving is not about what they say it's about, okay? So with that in mind, just think about it. Deduce on your own thought process. Is it a stretch that when you're doing all these things and people are telling you to go do this, that, and the third, is this really in your best interest? Is this what they say it is? Just give it a few, give it some minutes there. Just kind of give it a minute to actually use your brain and to really think about, what is it that they're actually asking me to do and asking me to participate in? Okay, because like most people, they're not going to care. You have to think for yourself, and you have to protect yourself and your family. And when you participate in certain things and then you go home, you're taking whatever it is that's in that place back home to your loved ones. So before we leave this particular topic of etymology, we are going to listen a little bit more to what the prefix re, okay, in Renaissance, re, okay?
Meaning back from, back to the original place, also again, anew, once more. Also conveying the notion of undoing or backward, etc. See sense evolution below. C. 1200. From Old French re and directly from Latin re, an inseparable prefix meaning again, back, anew, against.
Okay, so I'm going to stop there. So this is another interesting thing that the prefix in Renaissance re can also mean or convey the notion of undoing something. Okay, undoing, backward. I think that's very interesting in onto itself, and it has some meaning to it in regards to the Renaissance tour. What are you undoing? What are you introducing? There's a lot going on here. So I'm going to stop there. And then we're going to look at another aspect to this. All right, so in this final segment, we are going to hear some content about this particular artist and how she helped the economy single-handedly. I want you to keep into mind of what we heard at the beginning of this episode when we talked about the biblical account found in Acts 19 about Paul, the Ephesians, the silversmiths, and the temple of Artemis, and how once he ministered to the people there, how they turned away from their worship. But there were still people that were very mad and upset that he had somehow impacted not only their worship of this pagan goddess, but the economic ramifications of that. So I just want you to keep that in mind as we listen to this content about this particular artist, the silver, and the economy.
Beyonce's request to fans sparks a surge in sales for small businesses. Turning side hustles into major moneymakers, Beyonce encouraged concertgoers to embrace silver attire, aiming to create a collective shimmering human disco ball at each show. By Madeline Garfinkel, September 7th, 2023. Share. Key takeaways. Beyoncé's call for silver fashion led to a surge in searches and sales of silver items, particularly on platforms like Etsy. Some businesses even adapted their offerings to cater to the silver fashion trend. Beyoncé's world tour had a notable economic impact beyond the fashion industry. Virgo season is in full swing, and world-renowned Virgo Beyoncé called on fans to ring in the zodiac term with a shining request. As she celebrated her 42nd birthday on September 4th and wrapped up the final month of her Renaissance World Tour, Beyoncé called on her fans to wear silver to her concerts during Virgo season, which ends on September 22nd. As we approach the last month, my birthday wish is to celebrate with you wearing your most fabulous silver fashions to the show's August 23rd-922nd, the star wrote on an Instagram post and her website. We'll surround ourselves in a shimmering human disco ball each night. Since the announcement on August 23rd, small businesses have seen a surge in searches and sales of silver items, with Etsy reporting a 25% increase in searches for silver clothing and accessories, the New York Times reported. Fans donned in silver arrive at Sophia Stadium for Beyoncé's Renaissance World Tour on September 1st. Jason Armand, Getty Images. Driven by fans on TikTok and even celebrities such as TV host Gayle King and comedian Rosie O'Donnell, independent business owners have had an uptick in searches and sales for silver blouses, corsets, tops, and disco hats. Coquetry Clothing, based in Olive Branch, Mississippi, received emails from fans urgently seeking silver attire. The shop, which specializes in handmade spandex pieces, adapted, creating pieces to meet the demand. "We have literally just been swapping out fabrics and styles to make them all silver holographic," Ellie Mae Klimchak, the shop's founder, told the NYT. Related, a Taylor Swift-inspired side hustle is making people tens of thousands, paid more than my full-time job. Told the outlet that the surge in demand for her disco ball earrings turned her side hustle into a primary source of income this year. This isn't the first time the global pop star's world tour, which began on May 10th in Stockholm, has had an economic ripple effect. In June, economists began pointing to Beyoncé's world tour for its surprising impact on Sweden's economy. The surge in demand for hotels and restaurant meals, driven by her tour, led to a lower-than-expected drop in the inflation rate in May. Perhaps all that isn't just down to her, as there are other events taking place, but when you think about what was the cause, she is the prime suspect, Michael Gran, chief economist in Sweden for Denmark's Danske Bank, told NBC News at the time. No BS business success in the new economy.
All right, I apologize at the end of that. It made a weird sound or whatever when I realized that the article had ended. I had clicked on the read aloud aspect to that particular blog or whatever article. So I do want to, I thought I was going to stop with that, but I want to read something to you about the significance to further tie in what we're talking about the occult and different rituals and clothing and colors and how you dress. Now, this particular article found at encyclopedia.com, it says that occult dress. Occultism is a non-mainstream Western system of spirituality that uses magic, and the definition of magic being the way in which internal thoughts are used to effect changes in the outside world. And then they give some examples of what are occultists, such as the Northern European pagans, Wiccans, Druids, and witches. They also mention ceremonial magicians, and they practice magic as part of their religion. Now, the occult dress is used when participating in magic rites, rituals, or ceremonies. Western occult dress has three primary functions, okay? So, for those of you that may still be on the fence about this, and that wearing a certain color or a certain thing doesn't really have any meaning other than just looking, you know, cute or pretty, there's actually more to it than meets the eye. So when they talk about Western occult dress, it has three primary functions. One is to psychologically place the wearer in an extraordinary sense of reality. Number two, identify the status of the wearer within a social group. And number three, to indicate the beliefs of the wearer. Now, this particular article starts talking about other things about when people go out in the woods and they do different things and they're not wearing any clothing. So I'm going to skip past that, okay, and get to the part where they're actually wearing clothing. It says some occult groups don garments symbolically colored according to a ceremony or rite. Okay, it says, for example, a Northern European pagan coven, okay, may don white clothes to celebrate Yule rites and green clothes to celebrate Beltane festivals. It says ceremonial magic groups have an extensive magical color symbolism, and thus certain colored clothing is worn for a specific ritual. And this is done in order to mentally link the practitioner to the rites being performed, raising awareness and effectiveness of the spiritual ritual. Then it goes on to say that occult dress is also used to indicate the status within a group. Let's say the person is a Wiccan high priestess, okay, of a certain lineage, and it indicates status to other initiates by a colored leg garter. Also, a waist cord may be worn in the same group to indicate the wearer having taken oaths, okay, pertaining to a level of initiation. Okay, so like I said, we're in a season now that it's very important that we actually think. We make mistakes, I do, but when someone asks you to do something, it doesn't take a lot to just kind of like pray on it, think on it, and have some form, pray for some type of discernment as to why they are doing it. I know a lot of people don't want to be left out of things, but it is very important and pertinent that people think about why are they asking you to do that, okay? So if I kind of feel like on some level in where we're at in the world that everyone has heard about or is knowledgeable about some form of alternative religions that have to do with esoteric, pagan, occult, however you want to call it, that there are things that are going on around us every day, and that you have some type of knowledge of it. It might not be deep. Mine isn't necessarily deep, but you are aware that there are people out there that subscribe to this type of as they call it, belief system. They call it a religion. Also, what I also was seeing more and more actresses. I haven't seen, to be honest with you, actors, but I know that they have to be out there. It seems like more actresses or females are coming forth and admitting on very mainstream TV shows. Kelly Clarkson and so forth. All the other ones. I saw a lot for Kelly Clarkson for whatever reason. I think the reason might be, and I actually might have an answer for that, is that she herself has admitted to dabbling. They may use certain terminology, dabbling in curiosity and doing certain things, whether it's tarot or crystals or whatever. But I see that there are a lot of people are very comfortable on coming on her show and certain other people's shows and admitting, actresses, very well-known actresses, a variety of ages, saying that they are practitioners of the occult. I even saw Stormy Daniels, the lady that was linked to our former president, even admitting to partaking in occult activity. They're making shows, podcasts. It's so much out there. They're no longer hiding it. They're actually, you know, stepping out of the shadows and letting you know, and marketing and rebranding it, making it, normalizing it, making it seem like it's okay. It's actually fun to do these things. And there's nothing, no repercussions that are going to happen to you by partaking of these things, even though they know that you don't have all the information and you don't really know the pitfalls and the very real dangers of dabbling in the occult and partaking of the occult. Okay, it's everything but fun. It's everything but you know, unicorns and glitter and Skittles and whatever they're saying that it is, that it's cool, it's hot, it's all of these things. It is very real, and it's to your detriment. Because think about it, if they actually were honest with you and they told you that all of these bad things are going to happen to you, you wouldn't participate and be less people doing it. I believe there would still be, sadly, there would be people that would participate, but I think that it would minimize it greatly. So of course they're not going to be forthcoming and tell you that if you indulge in these things and you literally open a door or doors to these very dark practices, that these things, that people wouldn't indulge in it. They wouldn't participate in it. They want to keep you asleep mentally and primarily, especially spiritually, and then to the point where you have no way out of it. Okay, you're destroyed spiritually, and everything is linked together. So your spiritual aspect is not independent of physical, mental, and every emotional. It's all connected. It's you. It's what makes you you. So don't fall for it. And if you're indulging in it now or dabbling in it or exploring it or whatever little cute little term that you can think of, that you cease and desist, because there's nothing cute or lit or hot about this. It has taken over the world. It has taken, as you've taken out God's word and you have do as you wilt, or whatever the term is from Aleister Crowley type situation there. You see how dark the world is, how people are killing each other left and right. Okay, this has opened the door, and witchcraft is at its height. There's so much information out there of people looking at the uptick over the years. I say the past maybe 10 years, if less, of witchcraft, and how its presence of the witchcraft in whatever form it is in. You can put it in pastel colors, you can put it old school like the LaVey guy, however you want to, witchcraft, Satanism, occultism, paganism, the result is what we're seeing every day. This is what kind of gets me a little bit when people ask about God, but God didn't do it. When you took the church and the Bible, you took the Bible out of the schools, you took out certain things. They literally took the Bible out of the schools, and they took different things in prayer and so forth and so on. This is what you reap what you sow. So you don't have to, you know, believe me. Just look at it. When you look at the world, do you see how dark it has become? It is because they took away the presence of God to an extent, because there's still people like myself and other people out there that still are believers of the word. But globally, look how everything is. If this is the result of it, just sit in that. If you get rid of all of this and then everyone is a witch and everybody's a warlock, look at what's happening. It is complete and total darkness, and it's complete and total evil. You cannot deny what we're seeing with our own eyes. This is the result of this. So if you're wondering about, is God real? If God loves you? If he even exists? When they took all these things away, okay, and replaced them with the things that they replaced it with, you see people killing each other left and right. There is no humanity. This is the fruits of taking God out of the equation. If he does not exist, this wouldn't be happening. Do you get where I'm going with this? If he's not a non-factor, this would be happening before. It's like literally the gates of hell have been kicked in and opened up, and all of this evil darkness is just spewing out. I would like to invite you to join me in prayer, a prayer of spiritual protection. Thank you, Lord, for your protection over my family. I come against any plot or ploy or scheme that the enemy has planned for us, and I render it useless in your Son Jesus Christ's name. We are the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. No weapon formed against us will prosper, and every tongue that arises against us will be condemned. We have the minds of Christ and the victory. The victory is ours today in Him. We are children of the Most High, and we rest in His goodness and faithfulness. In your Son's sweet name, Jesus Christ, amen. You were just listening to Teachable Moments with April podcast. I truly hope you enjoyed this episode. We invite you to stay connected with us on the other social media platforms of ours, which is TikTok, Pinterest, Instagram, Threads, and YouTube. Also, we'd like to invite you to check out our official podcast landing page on podpage.com/teachablemomentswithapril to see all our content in one place and leave personal messages, feedback, and more.